All right, welcome to the Maniac Cast. I am here with Sinister. How are you, dude?
What's up? Good.
All right, so first off, where are you from, man?
Well, where I'm from and where I live are two completely different
For
things.
sure.
I'm from the East Bay Area of California.
Good. Oh, really?
Yep,
And then.
but I currently live like just outside of Atlanta.
How's it
So
there? What do you like better?
I definitely like the South better, man, because freaking dude, it's so like California is so expensive. I visited last year, and it's so freaking overpopulated. I mean, like just going like one exit seems like, takes you like an hour just
Yeah.
to travel one exit in California.
Like I was telling you, man, I got
Atlanta's pretty bad, but like if you at least if you live outside of Atlanta, it's like not that bad,
Yeah.
you can actually get from point A to point B in like 10 minutes.
So how'd you end up moving there?
Long story. So the short end of it, I guess, is I was in the Army and I was stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and I got married while I was in. Wife is from here. She's from Atlanta, so like as soon as I got out and shit, I mean, like we just she wanted to move back down here,
For
and
sure.
obviously we weren't gonna go to California because that shit was way too expensive. So
Dude, I hear you, man. I wish I could move out, man. It's bad.
no, we couldn't afford that shit. So man, but that shit's like clout kingdom over there. Like all the big stars live there.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Everybody thinks like you live next door to like, a movie star and whatnot.
SoundCloud rapper one and SoundCloud rapper two.
Yeah, exactly. But how long were you in the military for, man?
4.5 years.
Good deal. Good deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can only imagine like just the stress and the traumatic experiences you've been through because of that. Like
Yeah.
obviously that has like influence on your music today.
Yeah. I mean, definitely has some influence. But I wouldn't. I don't know. I think I managed pretty well, given like given everything, like
Yeah.
my upbringing and even the military stuff. I mean, like I think you get to a point, and it t sometimes can take a while, but I think you get to a point where you can just kind of, I guess, like you just learn to process everything, in a different way, in a more, I guess, in a semi-positive way, as positive as it can possibly get,
For sure. I hear
know
you. And then what are your influences musically?
I mean? You know what's crazy? I'm like, okay, so I'll just start by saying that I'm obviously a metalhead.
For sure.
I grew up a metalhead,
Yeah.
but definitely like I've definitely been getting more into like the trap scene recently. Like anything trap, I pretty much dig. Obviously, like death metal and black metal are very, very big influences on just across the board, really.
Yeah.
But I warmed up to the trap scene like earlier this year, and like kind of started picking up like different artists and stuff like that. And I just like I because I never really used to listen. I didn't know what like it sounds like so stupid to say, but like I didn't know this part of the culture. You know what I mean? I don't even know what the hell you call it. I guess like the SoundCloud rap culture and like even trap culture. I really didn't. I didn't fully understand it. Like how big of an impact it has on really honestly society.
It's a whole entity in itself.
Crazy.
It's crazy how it's working just in
Yeah, dude,
general.
it's insane, man. Like, and it's honestly, it's crazy how like, dude, you need like one song and you can just blow up.
Yeah.
Like,
If you have like the visuals, a good video edit, you're good
oh
to
yeah.
go.
Like it could be like the next big thing, and like you never know.
Yeah.
You never know. I talk about it with like my producer buddies all the time, and like we're like, man, like, dude, if I kill the video, bro, like this could be the one.
Yeah.
You know, it's not always it, but
for sure,
you
yeah.
know, like with the right marketing, you know, because that's the other half of it too, you know. But
yeah, you got to have people helping you out for sure with this.
As far as like what I guess what influences me, I don't even like to name like rappers. Yeah. I guess that's one question. Like, I get asked that question all the time. Like,
yeah.
And it's, I hate answering it because it's like, there's so many, then all the comparisons start. Oh, well, he said he listens to Zillikami, so he's definitely influenced by Zillikami. That's why this song sounds just like that.
I know.
It's like, I don't ever want to be compared to another rapper. Like, okay, so I will say, like, there are rappers that I listen to that I may be like, oh man, he's doing something that sounds like something that would fit me too.
For sure.
But maybe I'll take what he's doing and like reinvent the wheel on it a little bit.
And people get too worked up about that shit because that's how life goes. Like, it doesn't matter what you're talking, you know what I mean? That's how it works. You know what I mean? You're influenced by something and you want to try it. I don't see, like, you're not straight up copying other motherfuckers. You're just trying to
some people do. I mean, there are.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into that, but.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah.
Their style is very easy to imitate, and unfortunately there's a lot of copycats of them out there. But,
yeah.
No, I mean, like, you know, I would say that, like, it's kind of, everything has already been done before, at least once. So, exactly. You're going to have to, more than likely, especially, like, in rock and metal, you're going to have to take something and, like, switch it up a little bit.
Exactly.
You know? And those are the guys that are really blowing up. Not the guys that are copycatting people, but the guys that are taking a sound that's been done and redoing it. Like, I don't know if you follow City Morgue. Do you follow City Morgue by chance?
No.
Okay, so do you know who Zillikami is?
No, I heard. I didn't think I've heard.
Okay. So, you should check them out. Mm. But they released a few singles on WorldStar recently, and like they were just like really, really dark. And they caught a little bit of traction at first. You know, it was more like oohs and ahs, you know, people were just like so shocked at what the hell these guys were doing. Like, what the hell? Watch their videos. Their videos are pretty wild. But the thing of it is, though, is like I noticed is like they have a similar trap sound. Like, it's dark for sure, but it almost, they have like guitars in the background, you know, like as their melody lead type deal. Like, instead of like a instead of listening to like a ambient, like a dark ambient Ghost Mane lead.
Yeah,
they have like these like driving guitars. It literally almost sounds like a metal version of trap, you know.
Yeah,
crazy, you know, that's being incorporated into trap. You know,
it's hard to do because some people go back and forth with it. It's not consistent throughout the song, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, their style is super experimental. I think it's really cool. You know, it took me a while for it to kind of like, I had to really listen to them a lot to like before I really started getting into them, but. Yeah, definitely. Like, I won't say they influenced me, but I will definitely say I enjoy them.
For sure. No, yeah, totally understood, but, man.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy. They just dropped a new album. I think like was it last week? So yeah, I've been playing a lot of that actually, especially in the gym.
Oh, definitely.
Like, you know, hype type stuff. So
definitely gotta look into that, man. It sounds badass.
yeah, no, it is.
So as far as like other influences, like. Especially the like type of music, the style, I guess, like influences of like depression, anxiety, breakups, like any like, can you
go like into real, that? Real life influences and stuff like that.
Yeah,
pretty much. I definitely use like music as like a catharsis, like I think most artists do.
For sure.
Like, it's definitely where like if I just have like almost anything weighing on me, like. Even if it's like just on my mind a lot, and it could be something from the most like pettiest thing, from like something stupid I saw like while I was scrolling through Facebook that someone said, and like five other people were like, ugh, yeah, you know, just like, you know, perpetuating ignorance, you know,
yeah,
type stuff. Or
that shit's getting worse and worse too, man.
Right. Jeez. And then, or even deeper, like, oh man, like, yeah, a breakup or a certain something happened to me in my life or whatever, or something that. Man, I've never really spoke on that in my music before. Maybe I want to like go back and relive a moment in my life. Mm-hmm. And that, honestly, I guess sometimes, you know, when artists like do that, I guess it is kind of hard at a point for them to do it. It makes processing it easier, obviously, because you put it out there. But
yeah,
you know, definitely, like, I think sometimes having to revisit points in your life, I think, are, yeah, I mean, you make peace with it at the end, but sometimes it can be difficult. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And I can definitely relate. I have horrible anxiety, and what I do to help that, the best thing to do is for me to just write, whether it's like I try to like make a song. I don't play or I'm not in a band or anything, but like I just write like songs. So that definitely, I can understand that.
yeah, for sure.
So were you, going back to like, you know, metal, were you in any metal bands like back in the day?
Still? Yeah. Shoot. A lot, really. my friends used to make fun of me about how much I used to like bounce around or how many bands I'd be in, but it wasn't actual like bands too. It wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'm the lead singer of X band that has no songs. No, like every single band I was in like had songs.
That's where I was.
It was crazy, dude. Like, oh, you mean like,
we didn't go anywhere.
None of these bands really ever gained a lot of traction, but the thing it was like, yeah, we definitely had songs. And actually, I had a falling out, and it sucks because those guys, like, I've kind of like peeked in to their lives. If they ever listen to this podcast, they'll be like, oh shit, you're stalking us. But yeah, I've like low-key stalked a couple of them after, and they all went to like, a couple of them went to music schools.
That's cool to see, though. That's cool.
But yeah, I mean, it's cool to see them doing their thing or whatever, but I honestly think that the band could have definitely went somewhere at the time. It was like 2008. I was in a band called Immortus, and it was like this extreme death metal, like, picture like Cannibal Corpse mixed with like,
oh wow,
I don't know, your favorite black metal band with like, you know, blast beats and stuff like that, dude. It was intense. I still have all the demos and stuff, even the ones I'm on.
That's cool. That's badass.
Yeah, I like posted it on YouTube too, because I'm like, that's like a piece of work that from like, you know, 10 years ago that I'm still really proud of.
That's
like, I did shows with them and shit too, like around like, you know, the Bay Area and whatnot, you know, everywhere from like, you know, empty bars to like, you know, packed out, couple packed out venues. Not everyone was, but yeah, man.
That's cool. So it was just vocals, or did you play any instruments?
No, just vocals.
So, all right. So, take me down the process of actually writing your songs. Like, do you go just write your songs, and then you have someone make the beats, and you try to match what's up?
Oh wait, I forgot. This isn't gonna be like recorded or anything, or video recorded. But
no,
yeah, this is my little book.
Oh, that you keep? You have like everything written in there?
Oh yeah, dude. Like, look at how like I write stuff, man. Like, damn. It's just like all in the sides and shit like that. Like,
it's just a mess.
Dude, it's a mess because, like, you know, this is only like my second one, you know, because I try to buy like ones that have like a lot of, you know, pages in them and shit. But yeah, man, like, handwriting, I still use my phone from time to time, but like, I think whenever I used to handwrite a lot when I was a kid, like I used to like write stories and shit. I still have them too. They're in like a binder.
That's dope.
But I used to handwrite, and I would handwrite like, I would hand jam literally do like 20 pages, like just like a fantasy, you know, story or whatever, like some shit I would just like make up, you know what I mean? And just like, I don't know. I had like an overactive imagination when I was growing up, like when I was a kid, in like early teenage years. And so like, even in middle school, like I would literally just handwrite shit. Like, I wouldn't pay attention in class. I was just writing stories and shit.
Understand that.
Making up stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And like for the longest time, I wanted to be an author. I always thought that'd be cool, but I found a way to, well, we'll get to that later, I guess, but if it comes up, but I basically found a way to do like everything that I wanted to do in life. I basically found a way to combine it all into music, but yeah. Handwriting, I guess, is like the best form for me.
Yeah.
I'll end up having to like retype it on the computer, you know, so I can like visually see the final piece. But
yeah,
like I can see all of my ideas, you know what I mean? Cause like what I start with when I'm writing is like not what I end up with almost never.
Yeah.
So sometimes like, and the process is different almost every single time. It just depends on how I'm feeling, I guess. Like sometimes I won't even have any scratches or any scratch outs. It'll just like, the beat will speak to me so much, I'll just write it all down.
Hmm.
But other times, I'll have to, like, write. And then I'll be like, eh, I don't like that. Scratch it out. You know? And then, and sometimes that'll be the process. And it'll just be, like, me pulling, like, a line from here that I like that I said and crossing out everything else. And then, you know, so on and so forth, you know? So.
For sure.
Sometimes it can get. It can get deep like that, and then, like, I'll look back at my paper and be like, holy shit. Because I don't really notice it when I'm doing it, you know, but I can step back, you know, and look at it and be like, okay, I can visualize everything, you know what I mean? It's like a cloud, you know what I mean? And, like, I have all these ideas in this cloud, and I can just, like, pull different things, you know, from different areas and stuff, so.
So when you, like, you have, like, several guys making your beats, how does that work?
Oh yeah man, like too many probably. I'm trying to narrow it down.
So but do you go to them and say, hey, I need like three new songs, like I have them written up already, or how does that process work?
So for me, I guess, like, it started off, I was only trying to work with like a couple of producers at the time.
Uh-huh.
And like, one of them was this guy, Luke Goons. He's in like Denmark, and I still work with him. I still work with him pretty closely, but
mm-hmm.
He's a good friend of mine. And then this other guy, Jedi, at the time, that was his name. This is his producer name, and he did most of like the first. He did like the original, like Sinister songs, like when I was doing like. Regular classic hip hop, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he did a lot of those, and so yeah, pretty much the process would be like me, you know, I guess like going to them, and be like, hey, how much? Usually, I'll have to ask, you know, because every producer's price is different. So the first thing I always start is just like asking how much they charge,
see
if they're in my ballpark, you know, or to see if I can like work something out. And at the time, they were really the two of them were like fairly cheap. Loop Goons is still pretty affordable, but. You know, the way I'm working up to now, dude, like, beat costs is just, like, getting so, so expensive. Like, because I'm trying to level up my sound.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm trying to reach out to producers that are, like, next level, you know what I mean? That are, like, they're produced for, like, Puya. They produce for Fatnik. I'm actually talking about one in particular, Flexitelli.
Mm.
He's produced for, like, Shakewell, Fatnik, Puya.
Like, the main... SoundCloud.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly, dude. So I always was a fan of his beats. I'm like, damn, sure. His beats are so freaking raw, dude. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I need this, bro. And so for the longest time, man, I was like, man, I wonder if this guy is like affordable, and then I wonder if I can reach him. I wonder if he's reachable, you know? And so one day, man, I just like stumbled. I got a page invite from like Flex Camp Beats. It was like some new thing that he started with his like little clique of producers, like three of them. And I bought like five or six beats from them.
Wow.
And one of them actually ended up being that beat. I don't know if you've heard the song Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's the one everybody loves right now. So that's going to be the one I film the next video for. But
really?
Yeah, I like went off on that. I went off on that beat and I showed it to him. I showed them the demo, and then I showed them the final product, and they were like, damn, you know. So I started talking to Flexitelli himself, like, just on the side. He actually responded to my DM, and I was, like, super surprised. We just kind of hit it off, and last month, I think it was, in September, kind of, like, you know, I asked him, like, you know, man, if you have, like, a vault or something, man, that I can, like, look at of, like, old beats or something like that. Like, I'll buy old beats from you. I want your name on my work, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah, you're comfortable with it. You like it. Keep it rolling.
So I was like, dude, like, I'm like, yo, anything, bro. Like, one or two beats. And he was like, look, man. He was like, I normally really don't produce, like, for, like, basically non-named artists pretty much. But he's like, I can see that you take yourself seriously. And, like, you know. Whatever I give you is going to surface. So he gave me a price, and like we basically worked it out. So now I'm going to be making like quite a bit with him. That opened up like a huge door. Shout out Flexitelli, man. If he's listening to this, man, like if he you know, picks this up and takes the time to listen to it. But
that's cool that he did that for you. Like he could have been like, nah, fuck this guy, you know?
Most producers are like that.
That's
like
fucked.
most top tier producers, dude, they do not fuck with dudes in the underground, and it sucks, dude. It's heartbreaking because like there's a couple like, you know, higher tier like producers, and I'm like, man, I might if it's $1,000 that you want, I might go work for that so I can go, you know, invest it into one beat.
Yeah.
Because that might be the one, man.
It's just a gamble, guys, man. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, those guys are like no joke. So I do have a little like collective of like, you know, predominantly Flexitelli being a new one, but I do have a little collective of like guys that I like work with very, very closely. And yeah, it's usually me just kind of going up to them saying, hey, like, I already know their price is the same for me all the time, so I just am saying, hey, you know, I like, can I get X amount of beats because I got this amount of money. Okay, yeah, sure, you know.
Good deal. It's funny that you say the Unleashed is most popular. I like the No Smoke is definitely one of my favorite, and Morbid is probably my fave.
Oh my god, I cannot believe you like the song No Smoke.
Yeah.
Dude, that's such an old song. Like, yes. That song is so old.
So it's like totally irrelevant. So like what?
Pretty much. You know, as much as I hate to say that, because that song was actually really expensive because of the features that are on it. But
yeah.
Yeah, so that song, yeah, that song is definitely not like that whole. Did you listen to the Malice album?
Yeah, so I just listened to everything you have on Apple Music, at least.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
at least,
yeah,
like, so, I listened on YouTube too, but mainly Apple.
Oh, man. Yeah, so the Malice Redo album is actually, in its original form, I released like an EP. And it was Malice Part 1 was what it was called. And it was like 6 tracks. And it was basically the first 6 songs that are on that album, Malice.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I had like 6 other songs that weren't 100% ready. And I was still kind of like iffy if I wanted to put them out or whatever. So No Smoke was one of the ones that it was on the original Malice album EP, but the problem, the original EP had a lot of flaws in it. Like that song in particular had it was like in the hook, it was like offbeat, like it just was mixed wrong. And I didn't mix or edit any of that stuff. All I did was track everything, you know. But yeah, like it was. I guess like I have some scarring moments from like the Malice days.
It was like one of your foot, like your first step. So you're kind of like iffy about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I liked it. Sorry.
No. I mean, it's totally fine. Like a lot of people. There's a lot of my original fans that do like it.
Yeah.
You know. So, but I think that like some of my newer fans will go back and look at that and be like,
"What the fuck?"
You know, you'll be like, "What? Well, like, what is this?" Like, who are these guys who I've never heard of, like, on these features? Because it's very feature-heavy, too.
Yeah.
It's a very feature-heavy album. Every single song, except for one, has a feature on it.
So, how, with all your features in general, how does that go about, like, other, like, people around you, like, local guys? Like, how do you go about that?
No, I haven't worked with anybody local yet. But, yeah, like, I guess, like, so, I'm still, like, I hate being a part of it, but when I first came in, I was like part of this like Facebook scene, and like it's just a small sect of the underground. You know what I mean? Like they're all like everybody in there is an underground artist. You know, some of them are higher up than others, like more, I guess, relevant or whatever. And at the time, this is back in like, well, this is just last year in 2017. These guys, a lot of the guys that are on that album were pretty much at their peak in their careers. And I was listening to them for a lot of them for like quite a number of years, like probably like 3 or 4 years. And yeah, like I wanted to work with a lot of them because initially they were the guys who kind of like pretty much a lot of the rappers on there were like guys who I guess more or less like influenced me to even start rapping in the first place. Kind of thing. And so, yeah, like I look back at that album now, and I say it publicly now too, because I'm just so like, there's a part of me that's just like, feels so bad about it. But I look back and I'm just like, man, that album was such a fucking waste of money.
Oh, well, yeah, financially, yeah.
Yeah, financially, I can see that. It was a huge loss, dude. Like, I'm like, man, I can't even look at that album sometimes, because I'm just like, that's why I did the redo, because, and I remixed and remastered every single song on the album, because I was like, I can't let that go to waste. Even if I don't really like it that much, I can't have it go to waste, because I invested way too much money into it. But like I said, I look back on it and I'm just like, holy shit, like, if I would have known what I know now, I would have never have gotten like probably like 90% of those features. Like, I would have just done it completely me. Like, I would have just done the marketing, done the my own legwork and stuff. And it's not anything against those artists. It's just like, I just spent that much, I invested that much money into other people, you know, to try to get my name out there, because I thought that that, you know,
yeah,
I was trying to get fans, but I didn't know, you know, I was ignorant to it, you know. So, and no one ever told me, of course, why would they, that that's not the way to do it. And I'm slowly learning that a lot of these guys, you know, they don't really know how to do it, you know. So,
yeah, just,
like, a lot of them, a lot of them, like, you know, I hate to say it, I advertise it to them a lot. Like, I pitch it to them a lot. Like, the more I learn, I always try to, like, make, like, a little video and, like, put it up on my Facebook feed. And, like, hopefully someone sees it and, like, you know, takes after it. But that's not always the case. Mm. A lot of times they'll agree with me, and then, like, they'll be like, yeah, man, speaking facts. And then they just, like, you know, they don't listen. They don't go and apply it. So it's just like, I don't know, it's like I'm talking to a wall, I guess. But I mean, it is what it is. But yeah, like, I just, you know, try to give pointers and tips, and I guess, like, sometimes it just falls on deaf ears. But that's kind of like a side note. But yeah, I guess, like, as far as features, Malice is definitely probably my biggest regret. But I say that, and then if I couldn't have what I have now without Malice.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's just another building block, you know.
Yeah, I had to make that mistake, you know. And then, and honestly, like, I couldn't go back and redo it. Like, even if I could, I would probably do the same thing, because, like, I just didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you know. And at the time, I think a lot of people were in the same boat as me. They thought that, you know, that was the thing to do, was to get features from, like, bigger artists. It was just the cool thing to do, you know what I mean? It was like, man, let's collab, bro, you know? And it was just like one of those things at the time that was what we did, you know? And now, like, God, you know, I know how they felt now being approached for collabs, because I feel the same way now. It's like, people hit me for collabs, and I'm just like, nah, dude. I'm like, hell no. for the most part, I usually say no.
So is it the same kind of setup when it comes to, like, the videos and all that editing? Like, you do,
what do you mean?
Like, who does that? Do you have that knowledge? Or?
Oh, man. He's going to get his little, you know, shine in this interview. Because, yeah, man, he's the guy who makes, he's the guy who, like, pretty much makes everything you see, you know. His name is Keaton. And he's got a business called Makotech Visuals. Mm-hmm. So shout out to him. Shout out Keaton, because that guy puts in mad work for me, like, constantly. So, and, like, he pretty much makes the visuals that you hear. Like, he makes Sinister what it is. Like, he really brings it to life, and he, like, really works hard to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's kind of like his own, you know, thing too, you know, on the list of people who help kind of bring me to life. In a sense, you know,
for sure.
Like, definitely without him, like, he's one of the only people I know in this area that I probably wouldn't have, like, a dedicated videographer if it weren't for him. I'd be, like, you know, going from videographer to videographer to videographer, you know. But I found him, thankfully, and we had a rough start at first. You know, he'll even tell you. But yeah, no, like, we just kept working together, and we just built, like, a friendship. And at first, he wasn't even a fan of my music. And, like, well, no, that's the funny part. That's what makes that's what makes our like friendship now so funny. Is like, it was for him at the time, it was like, you know, it was like, yo, I kind of need like money. Yeah. And you know, you're paying me for these like videos or whatever. So like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want. Like, whatever, just pay me. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like, so our like that was the extent of our friendship at first. That was how it started. And then from there, it kind of just, I was like, hey, I would hit him up. I'd be like, hey, I'm playing the show. Can you shoot it for me? Like, take pictures or whatever, take some video. Yeah, man, I got you. You know, and it like eventually got to the point where I was like, hey, I need to shoot some more videos. Like, you know, how much you charge for this? And you tell me a price, and be like, all right, let's, you know, of a cool spot. Yeah, man, just come here. I'm like, all right, cool. We just go find some spot like in Atlanta and just like, just go shoot a video. And then you'd like edit it and dub the song in, and it would just be like, you know, the coolest thing to me. Like, I'd see the final product and be like, damn, dude. I'm like, you killed it. And so ever since then, recently back in August, he was filming a show. I was playing at a festival, and he, like, the show, I guess, was, I mean, it was pretty hype. I'm not gonna lie. Even for me, it was pretty hype. But he was filming it on stage with me, and you know, he was looking back at the footage, and he was telling me, he's like, dude, he's like, I'm not gonna lie, man, like, I've grown to become a fan of you. And I'm like, dude.
that's so funny. Like, I'm just imagining a guy with a camera, like, looking at you, like, what the heck is this?
That's how it is.
Like, we get the music, like, what am I doing?
That's how it is. And it's so funny, because when we film music videos, dude, it's a pretty fun time, because we're just like, some of it is goofing off, you know? Some of it is just like, hey, maybe if I do this, would that be cool?
You gotta have that,
yeah,
though.
Do that, yeah. You know? And we'll just like go from there. And it's like, oh, dude, I could do this cool thing where, you know, and he'll like do some like crazy edit to where, know, he'll make whatever I do look 10 times cooler.
For
know?
Sure. So I think there was one song, I forgot the name, but it sounded like there's a male singer and there's no like feature on it. Are you singing in it? Do you sing at all?
No, you're talking about East Coast Horror Story.
Yes.
So that was the first song I ever experimented with singing on.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was the first time I like ever sang on a song, uh-huh, ever.
Only, and, or do you have others?
Now I have. I think there's others floating around. Actually, you know what? There's only one that has surfaced.
Hmm.
There's only one other one that has surfaced, and that is actually a feature I did for a buddy of mine named Nomadic. He did a song. We used to. Yeah, he actually came up with him. He found me, and we just became really close friends. And we used to shoot songs back and forth.
Cool.
You know, just like a, forget what I'm trying to say here. It was kind of like no strings attached kind of thing. Like, you know, I just, like, I fuck with you, you fuck with me. We didn't have to worry about cloud this or cloud that, you know. It was just like,
that's cool, man.
You know, he fucked with me, I fucked with him, and, you know, and like, we were just like fans of each other's styles at the time. And like, earlier this year, he sent me a beat. It was actually by Loop Goons, and he sent me a beat and was like, yo, like, would you mind like doing a song or a verse and a hook for this? Mm. I was like, yeah, man. And it was one of my longest verses, and it's a slower song, so, you know, I sang on it too.
Cool.
You know, I don't know anything about singing either, so like, I'll just go ahead and say that for the record. So like, anything you hear is literally just like my attempt at singing.
No, I enjoyed it. And that's why I was wondering. I was like, there's no, yeah, you know, no name on it. I was like, is that him?
yeah. No, it's me. So
good deal.
That's the funny thing too. Like, a lot of people are like, I didn't know you could sing. I'm like, I really technically can't.
Like, I don't.
I work with what I got.
Yeah, for sure. And then going back on that guy, like, helping each other out, man, like we were explaining, like, how iffy, like, this, the industry, like, that whole scene is, like, that's cool to have, man. That's cool. Yeah. For sure. So you mentioned a festival. Are you trying to do more? Are you trying to tour?
Yeah,
like,
so, every year at least for the last couple of years since I started, I've played this festival. It's hosted by this guy out here in Atlanta named Stevie Miles. It's called Beat Made Fest. Mm. It's his thing, you know, it's his little his movement is, you know, Beat Made Entertainment, and he's fired this for the last like 3 years in a row. The first one had like mass amounts of people, and I didn't go to it. I knew about it, but I didn't go to it at the time, and I wasn't rapping at the time, so I didn't perform or anything. But the second year, which was last year, was the first show I had played in like 10 years, probably more than 10 years. And it was just pretty crazy, because it was a decent crowd and whatnot, and it was a good chance for me to, like, I guess, kind of work on my stage presence and whatnot. But
definitely,
I was doing different music back then. You know, I was doing like, you know, horrorcore and like classic hip hop and shit like that. And, like, it was just really boring to play. And at a point, like, it kind of sucked. It wasn't lit. It's not what you see now. You know what I mean? Like, it was mostly me, like, standing on stage, like, you know, not jumping around.
How big were these festivals?
Well, okay, so Beat Made Fest 2 was at kind of a weird location in the middle. I guess, yeah, it was, like, in the middle of Atlanta. It was, like, near Georgia Tech. And it was at, like, this, like, old rave venue, which sounds pretty lit, right? But, like, when you walked in, they were, like, renovating the place. So
like we played Warehouse? On it. Really,
yeah, dude, we played on the inside pretty much, yeah. It looked like a house, but, like, it looked like a really big house, but, like, when you go in, it, yeah, pretty much looked like a warehouse. But,
yeah, not in high school, like, those sketchy rave venues, it's, yeah, saying, like, oh, it looks cool from outside, and you walk in, and you're like, oh, God.
What the heck is this? So, yeah, we were playing on, like, this, like, really sketchy, like, plywood stage, and so, like, even if you jumped, especially, like, me, like, my size, dude, if I would have jumped, like, dude, I might have fallen through the floor, you know.
You're
what
just
I mean?
Trying to keep the yeah. crowd hype, but you're, like, tiptoeing.
Dude, well, like I said, my music wasn't really that hype back then, you yeah. know, like, it was very, like, there were no spots left in a beat, you know what I mean? Like, every beat would usually be full of lyrics, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you know, that was just the type of rapping I did back then. I wasn't doing trap, put it to you that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can hear that when you listen to Malice, you're like, it's definitely not trap. You know, but, yeah, so, like, Beat Made Fest 3, though, oh my God, that shit was lit. That shit was pretty lit. Because I was doing, I had my new songs, a lot of my new songs. And I played them, and, you know, in front of that crowd, and the response was super, super well.
Good deal.
Yeah, so hopefully, given that I stay out here in Atlanta, you know, for however long that lasts, then yeah, definitely, I'll always play, you know, Beat Made Fest, you know, as long as he runs it, you know. But man, I'm trying to do every show.
Yeah.
every show that has people, because, like, I don't have, like, a core fan base, especially out here. I have zero local following, you know, like,
really?
Atlanta's so big. Well, the problem is, and I was talking with a couple of other, like, Atlanta artists that are bigger than me, you know, and they were, the way they kind of explained it was, like, people on the East, like, in East Atlanta, won't know artists from, like, the North, you know, and, like, it's just very, very, like, the crowd here is very divided, and, like, if people know you, then obviously they'll come, but, like, if no one knows, like, who you are, and, like, if, you know, they don't know the headliner at the very least, dude, no one's going to show up to that show. Like, there's, like, hardly any local support because it's so divided.
Damn.
You know? So it's really, really, really hard to, you know, I guess, like, get a good crowd for a show, you know? So the fact that, like, the Beat Made Fest crowd is there, you know, and Stevie has dedicated fans, you know, that show up to the majority of his shows and stuff, you know, is pretty cool, you know, because at least there's a crowd at the very least, you know, even if they're not, you know, necessarily fans of mine, you know.
It's definitely, like, a secure vehicle for you to use, like, with
yeah,
your music.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, so, but it's only once a year, though, so the rest of the year, pretty much, like, fending for myself, you know. If yeah. I can find a show, cool, if someone wants to book me for, like, a decent-sized show, because that's the other thing, man. Like, I don't, you know, at this point in my career, like, I take myself so seriously. And, like, some people think, like, I've had promoters straight up be like, well, you got to pay your dues and shit. It's like, dude, like, I've been doing this so long. And, like, even, I may not have been, like, under Sinister for that long, but, like, my sound and everything that I do is so professional. I need, you have to put me in front of a crowd. Like, the type of music I do demands a crowd, at the very least. Even if they're not my fans, I have, there has to be showgoers.
I mean, look at your videos, man. You just have this energy, period.
Yeah, like, I mean, and if you, well, if you watch the live shows, you know, people are jumping up and down.
Yeah.
People are moshing, you know, like, shoot. We know I did this, like, well, I guess we'll get to that later, but, you know, I did a show in Orlando, and, you know, the mosh pit, I freaking got punched in the face, you know what I'm saying? Like, while I'm performing, you know? So that's the type of energy I like. That's what I want to see, you know, at my shows, you know, like, where I'm even getting hit. You know what I mean?
Hell
like,
yeah.
I don't always want that to happen, but, you know, it's like, that's how I know that, like, man, you know, they're really feeling this right now, you know?
Yeah, to see people move the way they do, especially in a fucking mosh pit. To, yeah, like, your music, man, like, that's cool.
Yeah, man, and so it's, like, really special, you know, to like, it depends on how the stage is set up and the floor is set up, but sometimes I'll go down, like, as close as I can and perform, like, in or outside of the mosh pit,
mm-hmm.
just so I can feel the crowd's energy, you know, because it, like, I'm a metalhead, man, like,
yeah,
you know, I've chipped my tooth in mosh pits, man. I've gotten beat up in mosh pits, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, as a metalhead, like, you know, that's a lifestyle for me. Like, you live for that shit, you know?
Hell yeah, I remember.
So I have to, like, reflect that in my music, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I remember coming home, black eyes, bloody nose, mom all pissed off,
dude,
at me.
Yeah, like, hardcore shows back in the day used to be fucking crazy in California, dude. Like, insane.
Hell yeah. We would be at, like, church venues, dude.
And dude, I remember when that was going on, dude. Like, hardcore bands would play at churches and stuff.
That was the best, like, though.
Dude,
I want to go back to that.
I'm like, dude, are you kidding me? I'm like, are these churches stupid?
But the thing, it wasn't, like, the normal church people that were, like, going about, like, that were running it. It was just someone else, kind of, you know what I mean? So they didn't, and because there was a lot of shit. I mean, from what I've experienced, like, in high school, the drinking, the drugs, before, during, and then, like, the mosh pits, the fighting, like, there wasn't any, like, management, no security, like, it was just hell.
Yeah, that's why people liked it, because the churches didn't understand. They're just like, oh, yeah, you're a band, you don't want to play at our church, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, you can use our altar.
Yes, dude.
And it'd be, like, a metal show, dude, and you'd be like, dude, this is gonna be lit, because, like, you know, there's not gonna be anybody here to, like, manage this shit.
Exactly.
In the Bay Area, they actually, like, they shut that shit down as fast as it started, actually, because the shit got out of hand really quick.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the thing.
That trend didn't go on for too long.
I don't know when it shut down. I kind of stepped out of it, like, after high school. Like, still listening to music. Didn't really go to shows here and there, but yeah, it was pretty brutal. Like, especially with the crews around here.
Oh yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah.
So, besides making amazing music, like, what are your other hobbies, man?
Oh man. You know, I just did an interview actually for a magazine like a couple days ago, and the same question was asked. and I actually had to stop and think about that for a second. I'm like, what are my hobbies?
I play, like, Pokemon Go.
Dude, I don't even play Pokemon Go. It's okay. It's pretty pathetic, honestly. Like, well, I mean, I guess it's not pathetic. I shouldn't say that. That's a pretty strong word. But it's pretty sad at a point. Like, I really, like, I have Fortnite loaded up right now, just, like, sitting here that I'm just looking at, you know. But, like, okay, so, like, what I'll do in the morning is, like, I know I have a bunch of work that I want to get done music-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, I'll have, like, mixing, like, engineering for, like, other clients that I'll have to do, you know, for people.
Yeah.
And, like, I'll be like, okay, I have to get this, this, and this, and this done for today. And, like, I'm a work before play kind of guy, you know, because, like, these people, like, you know, either I know I have to push shit out because I got to meet my own demands, or someone paid me, so, you know, I got to work, you know. Mm-hmm. So normally, I'll schedule out everything for the day or whatever, and then I'll keep Fortnite on as, like, you know, I'll look at it every now and again, like, man, I'm gonna play soon. Whenever I get done with this, I'm gonna play. And then, like, you know, 9 o'clock rolls around, and I'm like, fuck, man. I'm like, the night's kind of young, but I'm also kind of fucking tired, and I'd just rather sit and watch Netflix or Hulu or some shit.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so, I'm, dude, like, okay, I'm honestly so boring. I'm not even gonna lie, dude. I'm so boring.
That's so funny because, like, anybody watch your video, like, this guy's nuts.
Dude, they would think like the total opposite. Like,
no, I watch Netflix and pet my cat all night.
Yeah, dude, I bet you that guy parties so hard, lives life on the edge. Nah, dude, like, I'm so, like, the thing is, man, is I did that when I was in the military. That was my life when I was in the military. You know what I mean?
So, like, you did party, but now you're sober.
Yeah, well, I would say, like, I party, but mm-hmm. like, I had those moments where, like, okay, yeah, hey, everybody's going out to the bar, you know. And, like, we it would be, like, a guy's night out, you know, we'd get, like, trashed or whatever. But and then, like, you know, okay, I also got married really young, too, you know. Sure. So that's the other thing, too, is, like, you know, and, like, even my wife now, like, she's more, I guess, like, she's less boring than me. You know, she's the one who's, like, it's so weird. Like, we've been married for almost 7 years, and, like, you know.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy because she was kind of the one who was like, didn't want to do shit. She just kind of wanted to stay home at first, like the first few years we were married. And I was the one who always wanted to go out. And then now I'm like so sucked into like school and like, you know, music, especially like 100% gunning for it, you know? And like, I'm just so fucking burnt out mentally by the end of the day. I'm like, I don't want to do anything.
I feel you, dude. Trust me.
Like, I literally stay inside all the time. Like, the only thing I do that's active is like go to the gym.
Yeah,
that's all I do.
I work construction, like, so I hear you, dude.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you're probably just exhausted, you know, and like you don't want to do anything, you know. But like
Netflix and chill, bro.
Dude, I'm with myself, you know. Or just like have my wife, like, we'll just sit there and like watch a show and then just fall asleep, like drinking a glass of wine. Dude, I'm telling you, like,
yeah.
At heart, bro, we're old souls, bro.
Did like, you say that all the time? Me and my girlfriend say that shit all the time.
Because right? I'm still like, you know, I'm not 30 yet, you know, so. Like, I got a few more years before I hit 30, but, like, dude, that's just, like, I, like, all the stupid shit that, like, kids are, and, like, you know, young adults are doing right now, like, I already did that, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of over that, you know?
Same.
I had that experience when I was, like, growing up, like, even as, like, a, you know, not even really as, like, a young teen, dude, like, just, yeah, I guess in the military was where, like, I really drank, you know,
yeah.
a lot.
Like, they had a whole, like, party mode, like, that's definitely,
yeah, pretty much,
like,
yeah, where it was like acceptable for me to like, man, I gotta take the edge off, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Like, let's go fucking, you know, throw a few back, you know,
yeah,
like with the boys or whatever, and go watch whatever fight is, you know, tonight or some shit, you know.
Yeah,
but, well, yeah, I mean,
good.
In all honesty, I'm like, I hate to say it because like I said, at a point it kind of like people I'm sure want to hear like, oh man, that guy's doing some crazy shit every day. Nah, man. I'm usually, like, working, like, 80% of the time. Yeah. 75 to 80% of the time I'm probably working. And, like, really wanting to play Fortnite, but just cannot make time for it. Because, like, that's the other thing, too. Like, I'm married, right? So, like, when I'm all done at the end of the day with my work, I'm like, my wife's getting home from her work. And it's like, all right, yeah, like, let's just chill instead.
You gotta put
like,
some time towards the wifey.
Fortnite just goes off, you know? So I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I just don't have time for shit.
Yeah, for sure. I hear you, know, man. So,
but my music career and like my marriage is like more worth it than that. You know what I mean? Than like
that's so
fucking
cool,
around and like doing stupid shit. You know? So
that's cool, man. Like, that's cool to hear.
Yeah, like I value those things more so than like you know doing stupid shit. You know, I got a partner I can go do stupid shit with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I really want to.
For sure. Good deal. Yeah, that whole Fortnite thing popped off, man.
Dude, that, oh,
everyone,
man,
plays that shit.
Dude, before I like got back into school again, man, I was like, for this quarter, I was like, dude, all I did was play Fortnite. for like a week straight, all I did was play Fortnite. And then, like, you know, now the new season's out and I can't even play it.
Just too busy. What are you going to school for, man?
I'm finishing up my degree in audio post-production, actually. So,
there you go. Cool.
Yeah, so,
hand in hand.
Yeah, I'm a certified audio engineer, though. I mean, I have my certification for that. So now I'm just finishing my degree in the film sound design department. So
what just you, like it. What's that?
Just like, and like, honestly, you know the reason why I went to school? You want to know why? 100%.
Yeah. What
is that? I was bored. I just wanted to do something else. So I was like, I'm gonna go to school.
That shit happens a lot, though. Like, people go in for one thing and then they totally 360 their fucking degree.
So the reason why I even started going to school in the first place for this was because I was using, like, I was in an electronic project, like, 2 years ago.
Mm.
2 years ago now. And I was recording everything in Audacity. And it was just the worst, dude. Like, do you know what Audacity is?
I heard of it.
Oh, my God. Like, some of these, like, some like, rappers on the podcast might know what I'm talking about. And they're probably laughing right now listening to this. But I used to use Audacity. As before, I never recorded anything Sinister related on Audacity, though. Make no mistake about that. I did not.
I mean, look at me, dude. I'm taking the first steps of my podcast career. And you saw how horrible it was.
Way, way, way ahead of Audacity, dude. Audacity is like, dude, Audacity is just fucking just AIDS, dude. Like, if you look at that shit, that shit is like, how do people use this? It's so archaic. And it's been around for so many years. Like, I remember recording into Audacity, like, back in the day.
It's like the Morse code of recording.
Dude, oh my God, it's bad, dude. It's really bad. The only reason why Audacity exists is because it's free and it's, like, easy to use. It's, like, super user-friendly. And it's just, like, it's a small little program. You can have, like, two or three tracks on there.
Like the OG FL?
Dude, no, worse than that. I'm telling you, like, this is like, dude, Audacity is like bare bones. It's bare bones as like a dog gets. Like, that's how it's literally like you record into it and then that's it.
And then farts come out of the speakers.
Yeah, like probably because it's the sound quality of Audacity overall. It's just, and you can only export in 16-bit too. So it's like it's just really, really, it's not ideal for use for like a professional artist, right?
Yeah.
So I forgot where I was even going with all this. Oh, the reason why I went to school, yeah. So I was tracking everything out of Audacity and I'm like, man, like I don't even know how to mix. I gotta pay people to like mix this shit and they're telling me that this and this is wrong. I gotta go redo this. Like, what the hell? I don't even know what they're talking about. And like I'm like, okay. My friend told me about this, he was in the army too. We actually served together and he was like, man, I'm gonna start going to the Atlanta Institute of Music. I was like, oh shit. I'm like, yo, I gotta check that out. And so I looked into it and just like applied right away. And I was like, yo, I gotta go here. You know, and I went straight into the recording cert and like, dude, after like the first, well, actually pretty much like during the first quarter I was there, like I just immediately switched over to Pro Tools. And it was just like, it's been, my life has just been so much easier ever since.
I hope I get there with this shit.
Well, now, the thing is, too, now it's like I even teach online classes. I'm from like private online classes.
Oh, I'm going to hit you up, man.
Yeah.
I'm like a caveman over here trying to start a fire.
Dude, like, well, Pro Tools is limited in some stuff. I mean, Pro Tools can do a lot of stuff, don't get me wrong. But like there are some DAW systems like GarageBand, I guess, that are more like ideal, like depending on what you're doing, I guess, you know. But like, if you're a recording artist, like you're trying to be like professional and shit, yeah, man, you need something like Pro Tools or like Cubase or, you know, something good, you know, like something solid. You know, you can't be using Audacity and shit. You know, like, dude, Audacity, oh my God, I can't even, that shit is like, I can't even look at Audacity anymore. Like, after I made the jump from that to Pro Tools, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, thank God, dude. Like, I don't know what I would have done if I would have, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you right now, but I'll still use an Audacity. I'll put it to you that way.
Dude, I remember, like, in middle school trying to make beats. I think, like, maybe freshman year. Like, trying to make beats on, like, FL. Trying to, like, be all cool.
Oh, dude, yeah. I used to do that shit, too. Yeah, I never... See, even after going through, like, that, that was one thing I never picked up on was producing, man. And I wish... I might even go audit the class because I can. But, like, I might go back and just, like, really try to do it so that I can learn to like produce because like,
why not see that side of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean like
it
was a class that I took, you know, two levels of, and like, it just never clicked for me, man. Like it just making a beat from start to finish just never clicked, you know? And I've watched some dudes do it, especially in FL, man, they make a fire beat in like 10 minutes. I'm like,
yeah, I think,
and it's kids nowadays too.
I think what it is, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think you like, you've always been vocals. I feel like people, especially like if they've used an instrument and they understand more of like the layout,
yeah,
instrumentally, I guess. I don't know. That's just coming
from. Well, that was the other thing too. Like, you know, I mean, I did like learn like basic theory too, you know, at the school too. I mean, the school taught me a lot. You
oh,
know,
wow. That's cool.
One of the things like I didn't pick up on was just producing. Like I said, it never clicked. Maybe honestly, if they would have taught me FL instead of Ableton, maybe that might have been the case, you know, but I mean, you can still make some fire inside of Ableton, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, it's all the same thing. You just, you know, set up differently, you know, so.
So what's the end game on that? Are you going to stay with music or do you want to do movies?
Oh yeah. Oh. I mean, once I finish there though, like, I mean, you know, then I'm just done. I'll just be, you know, full-time pursuing Sinister like I always have been. Even now I'm still pursuing it full-time, but it's just, you know, doing school on the side is a little something to do, you know.
Yeah. No, but I mean, like, the end game for school after you get your degree, you're just gonna keep staying.
Oh yeah, it was just something I wanted to do. I just wanted to go get a degree just to say I had to have a degree.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
This is one of those things, like, I mean, I don't need it. Like, I've actually contemplated dropping out a couple times because it's just like I reached a point, especially in audio post production, it's just not entertaining at all. And I'm just like, man, no, I'm not about this life. Like, I'm definitely not going to do this on the outside. But there's some aspects of it that are kind of cool.
For sure.
And honestly, like, some of the things that like I do, like, you know, we learn like surround mixing, which is kind of cool. And like, I never really started doing it in my mixes, like, in my original mixes. Like, if you listen to the Malice tape, I wasn't, to like, it's something that maybe only an audio engineer would notice, but like the way I was panning my vocals was just, and like, it was, most of it was just like a double vocal track, but everything would just be centered, yeah. You know? And like being in, doing surround mixing, you know, everything is like, you know, we're you know, mixing in like 5-1, you know, and like, big rooms and shit like that, and, you know, moving little tiles around and trying to put stuff in different speakers around the room. So it's really cool, you know, but that kind of opened my mind. Like, I kind of like translated that into what I was doing with my own music, and I'm like, oh wow, like, if I just move these knobs, you know, here, and then I duplicate the track and move these knobs here, and, you know, it just, everything just sounds bigger and fuller, and, you know, just doing, you know, putting different effects in different places and stuff like that, you know, everything just sounds more full.
Yeah.
You know, so it definitely opened my mind to that, you know.
It's a whole other side of music that most people don't understand. Like, they listen to a song on the radio and don't understand, like, the actual music behind it and
that's
who.
That's why, like, oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, what you were saying, like, immediately just came into my head. It was like, when people sit there and they're like, this sucks. It's like, dude, do you realize the amount of work that went into this shit? I used to do it too. And like, sometimes I still do it. I'll be like, this is trash. But then I have to like stop and think like, okay, from an educated standpoint, okay, I see your angle on this, but like, you could do this a little bit different. You know, it's, I want to say something full on sucks. You know what I mean? Cause somebody did put hard work into that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, especially when people say like, oh, this video's trash. It's like, dude, are you kidding me? Like, I hate that, dude.
Trolls are just, I don't even look at comments.
Well, it's like,
dude.
Sometimes some people are dead serious, you know? And it's like, do you know what went into this?
Yeah. This shit's getting pathetic, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Do you have anything else that you want to bring up? Anything else you want to say to people? Words of wisdom, maybe?
Yeah. well, there's a lot, I guess, but no. The short end of it, no. I mean, like, my new fans, I love them all. I love all you guys. And, like, I wouldn't trade you for anything else in the world. And, like, everything I do, I posted this on my Facebook the other day, but I'll just verbalize it so that everybody can hear it. Everything I do, the example that I try to set is supposed to be a good one, ideally. Like, I turn away drugs, I rebel against everything. Like, everything that is like a societal norm, I say no to, because that's what I want to see. The most cliche thing in the world I've ever heard was be the change that you want to see. But I live that because I literally try to live out the changes that I want to see. So that's why I don't do drugs. That's why I don't do like stupid shit. That's why I don't crutch off of depression. And I want my listeners to know that I have every reason under the sun to be depressed and to drink and to do drugs. And not that it would be acceptable, but if anybody has that right to live like a lifestyle like that, it would be me. But I choose not to. And like, I understand like depression sometimes can be deeper. Sometimes it is like an imbalance. Sometimes you just can't control it. But like, for the people that don't suffer from that specifically, and they suffer from like, you know, just like being a sad person, and they just, you know, from like a girl broke your heart or something like that, and they're just moping about it, and it's okay to do that, but you have to pick yourself up after a while, and you have to progress, you have to keep moving and keep fighting, you know, until you die. You have to keep fighting, and I encourage everybody to do that. And like, don't get sucked into what someone says is cool, you know, it's not. And that's, like I said, as cheesy as it sounds, like that's why I am the way that I am. And that's my overall message. You just heard it. That's what I want for people. I wish and I hope that people will hear this like 10 years from now. They'll be listening to the original podcast, the very first Sinister interview, and they'll hear me saying that, because I'm still like, the message will always be this. It'll always be the same.
Man, that's badass. That's pretty freaking cool. That's awesome, man. Well, thank you very much for doing this and being patient with me.
Yeah, man. Thank you, of course.
Yeah, man. All right. So go play some Fortnite.
Yeah, I might.
All right, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
All right, man. See ya. See ya.